It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
What, yeah, is there anything promo-wise? I mean, Chuck Slash a week out.
Yeah, maybe and the tailgater that's at
Ferris.
I don't know any 20 people will show up.
Yeah, other promos for going into that Chuck Slash. I guess there is none, I don't think. So anyway, okay.
Alrighty, we're coming down in 3, 2, 1. Well, good morning, everybody. It is another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers. And Damon, you're heading for Ferris State this weekend. And, you know, you look on paper, you'd say, well, this is good that we can beat Ferris State. And we can. But you still got to do it. And they're playing a lot better of late. They got Justin Kapelmaster back between the pipes, playing really well. They're led by some defensemen in scoring, and they're always tough in that building.
Yeah, well, we can beat them, but the other side of it is they can beat us as well, you know, and that's just the name of the game at this level or pro sports. It's there's not a real big margin between teams at the top and teams at the bottom or teams in the middle, and, you know, you have to be ready to play and you have to show up. And as you mentioned, going into that arena, really difficult place to play. There's a significant home ice advantage because of the size of that sheet. Everything happens so much quicker. There's not a lot of possession. There's not a lot of skilled game in that arena just because there's no time and there's no space. And so, you know, you really have to adjust quickly down there, be ready to play, have a good start. You know, we've tried to mimic some of those things in practice this week by condensing areas and making guys play in tighter spaces. But that's one thing to do in practice. It's another thing when that puck drops and you've got that live team coming at you. So it's going to be a big test, a big battle. They're a lot better team right now than the record indicates with as you mentioned, Kapelmaster back healthy. Riker Killen's been back in the lineup for a couple games now. He's been around the league a long time, a very mobile defenseman. They've already got two, you know, really good defensemen leading their team in scoring. And guys like Corey Mackin, you know, who's had a little bit of an off year, but, you know, he was a WCHA Rookie of the Year candidate. I think he won that actually that year. And just a real dynamic playmaker. And, you know, he can bust loose at any time. So it's, as always, it's just a real difficult thing. Winning is very difficult in this league and across college hockey. And, you know, I like our team. I like our chances here, but we better be ready to play. And I think we'll be prepared, and we're looking forward to this weekend and this challenge down there.
Is there any consideration to changes here or there in the lineup? This lineup's been pretty solid. It's been pretty much the same for a number of games now, I guess, with Lucas Kybel possibly not playing due to injury. That would be a change, but is there any other thing that you've looked at where maybe you think you could change line combinations or trying to find something there to maybe jumpstart some offense and jumpstart some defense?
Yeah, well, you know what, you always do. I mean, I think we're always analyzing that. Every morning we talk as a staff about lines and D pairings and, goaltending situations, and so it's a daily conversation we have. We hit it after practice again and just kind of briefly hit over, you know, who performed well on that day and, maybe who didn't have a good day and if we make a adjustments that way. So it's constant. And then I think sometimes when you're looking at a type of opponent like Ferris, you're going in, it's a competitive team, it's a quick team in that little rink, and so you need to have guys that physically can match that compete level, and so all those things kind of play into it. The other side of it, as you mentioned, is we've been pretty stable with most of our lineups, a couple small changes here and there, but again, I think a real credit to the guys who have gotten the opportunity to play. We have guys waiting in the wings that we would like to find a way to get in, and we think are ready to play and have earned that opportunity, but the other side of that, the guys who have played have played so well, and haven't given themselves a chance or given us a chance to talk about them coming out of the lineup. So there will be some tweaks and there will be some small adjustments. You know, I think overall it'll look similar as you said, but continuing to look for opportunities to get some guys in who deserve it.
Yeah, you indicated on the hockey show on Tuesday night at the Antlers that there may be a couple of new wrinkles coming on the power play. The power play's gone from roughly 25% earlier in the season down to 17.2% and did not score on the weekend against Bemidji State. Maybe a change or two there, or at least in how you do things.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think at this time we've tried to kind of be patient, and because it was so good early on and one of the best in the country, we've been kind of waiting and waiting to recapture that magic and that ability, and it hasn't come back. So at this point, we've kind of blown up groups. I mean, you know, our top guys are our top guys, and there'll be a lot of those guys will still be out there in some type of situation or role, but the personnel has changed, the structure's changed. Not that, many teams are doing much different in the power play. When you look across the NHL and you look across college hockey, you know, things are pretty set in a 1-3-1 or some variation of that. But we've tinkered with that pretty heavily, and you know, we've got to get it going once again. You know, they can do that, and they can run streaky, and as it has this year with a hot start and then really cold the last couple weeks. You know, we're not going to worry about the last couple weeks. We just want to be hot these last eight games here, and so these adjustments hopefully can get us going here a little bit.
Defensively, this team has been pretty good this season, maybe struggled a little bit this past weekend. Goaltending's been good, though. I think Nick Kostoff's been very steady, and when he's come in, especially of late, Merrick Smittens has been nothing short of spectacular. He was great at Minnesota State.
Yes, we've gotten good goaltending all season long, and that's been really critical. You know, obviously early on, you know, as fans have followed us, we split those guys early on, gave them both a chance to earn the, you know, maybe a number one type of look, and we were also comfortable with continuing that rotation. But there was some separation there early on, and you know, being a senior and grabbing that job, his experience in the role, Nick has done a good job. Just like we talked about with a lot of other places, he kind of grabbed it and has not relinquished it. So Nick's done a really good job for us. We know Merrick is very capable of going in and winning games and playing at a high level. We want to continue just like other guys that have earned opportunities. Merrick's has earned more opportunities, and we're going to look for those opportunities. We don't know quite when they'll come, but you know, he's capable of playing. And so we will see both those guys, you know, moving forward a little bit more this season and continue to, you know, to round that into shape. I think Zach's done a good job with all three of our goaltenders, and we're very comfortable with what we have in net, no matter who goes on a given night.
Yeah, it's got to be a particularly difficult time for guys who aren't in the lineup. You know, I'm thinking of Miro Muka, maybe Ian Johnson, guys who work hard every day in practice and can't get in there. And I'm thinking of Roman Bengert, too. He works awfully hard in practice. But, you know, they're younger guys, and the future bodes well for them. I would think next year it'll be Merrick's along with Roman Bengert, and then if you bring in a third goalie, that would be a freshman and be the third man.
Yeah, right. No, that's it. I mean, sometimes it's hard for guys like Miro and Roman to maybe you know, remain patient and understand it's a process. You know, some guys get to come in and have immediate success or immediate opportunities, and some guys have to pay their dues, or, you know, just be patient with it. So, you know, it is a 4-year window that we're looking at development and growth from some of these guys. You know, we've told some of those forwards that, you know, this, if they came in a year or two ago, it'd probably be a little bit different situation. Our depth up front is as strong as it's been in my time here, and so it's made that challenging for a couple of those guys up front. You know, on the back end, you know, Alex Samandel's played, I think, 8-12 games, so he's gotten a good kick at it and shown us what he can do, and you know, bring some really strong things to our team as well. So it's just one of those things. Like you said, this time of year gets really hard. You know, you want to play. You know, our guys have done a really good job, even the guys who haven't got much of an opportunity. You know, they're all about the team. They've been tremendous teammates through it all, and you know, can understand the frustration and the anger sometimes that they're not playing. We try to, you know, work with them every time we make an announcement. We try to spend time with those guys and give them a little bit of feedback and update. And then next week during the bye week, you know, we'll do individual meetings with every guy in the roster and really just, you know, clean up definitions of roles and where they're fitting in and how they've played the last 10 game segment. You know, we didn't want to squeeze it in this week, even though this is going into our last 10 game or 8 game segment, but we're going to use the bye week next week to sit down with everybody as an individual and just kind of recap and you know, lay out expectations, lay out roles, and some of those will be, you know, easier conversations with guys like Diego and Max, who have played extremely well, and then some harder ones that guys who haven't got in that want to play, and we'll continue to show them where they're at and what their path is to playing time in our lineup.
Yeah, there have been some real steady performances all season long, really, and then there have been some guys who've kind of fallen off, and then there have been some people who maybe weren't so noticeable in the first half of the season who become real stalwarts in a lineup. I'm thinking of Brendan McKay, who has really picked up his game as the season's gone on. Not only is he skating better, I think, than he has in his time at Lake Superior, but he's making some plays. He had a goal and an assist on the weekend, had a great assist on the goal by Yuki Miura. And one of the things Brendan really brings to the table right now is prowess in the faceoff circle. He's become really good there.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where you saw a few weeks back, and he had I can't remember what game it was. It was a couple weekends in a row, actually, where he was outstanding. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you've got a guy winning at a high level, and Brendan's always been very responsible defensively, so there's a trust level that he can play in a lot of situations because he is aware and good defensively. So his minutes, you know, grew and grew, and he's one of those guys that took advantage of it. And like you said, now there's some offense coming along with some goals, with some assists. So it's been great to see. We talked, I think, Tuesday or maybe last week as well, that, you know, guys come in, whether it's a young guy or maybe it's a sophomore going into junior year, and they all think like, hey, I've got to score to get in the lineup or to play more. I've got to score. I've got to put points up. And it's the opposite. You have to be great defensively. You know, your coaches have to trust you in all situations, you know, to go out against a top line, to be out for an important D-zone faceoff. The more reliable, the more trustworthy you can be defensively, the more minutes you can earn, and then your confidence grows, then your opportunities come around, things like that. So Brendan's been a real good example of that. You know, it's been his outstanding attention to detail defensively, his great faceoff prowess that have got him more and more opportunities and minutes, and now he's cashing in, confidence is growing, and that secondary offense has been really impactful for our team.
Yeah, that fourth unit as a whole has been really good all year, especially defensively. You look at a kid like Chase Gamblin, he has no goals right now. He's had some pretty good opportunities, I'm thinking, especially at Minnesota State, but he hasn't been able to score a goal. That's not of major concern. What's of major concern with him is how well is he doing defensively. He does really well defensively, and so does his line mate, Brian Basilico.
Yeah, not even defensively for Chase. Like you said, I think that goal's got to come. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of on his mind at this point. You can see he's gripping a little bit. So when he gets that first one, that's going to be a great sense of relief for Chase. And yes, you're right, they have been good defensively. But what they've done offensively has been really remarkable. It seems like a lot of points in games, you know, they can go out and flip momentum in a game. You know, they go down and they make such good decisions on the rush. If there's not an advantage there, they'll put it deep, and then they get to work on the cycle play. And so, you know, we've drawn a lot of penalties from that line, and it might be the next line up where, you know, they're out there 30, 40 seconds, one guy starts peeling off on a line change, and the momentum of the game has totally been changed by what the McKay line has done with Basilico and Gamblin. So it might not maybe show up in their stat line that they're putting up the goals or the points, but they're drawing penalties, they're getting us zone time, and having a big impact on our offensive game by flipping momentum. So it's been a really good line for us, and you know, really stable as well. Those are three guys that are great examples of, you know, grabbing an opportunity, taking advantage of it, playing so well that, you know, we really don't talk about those guys coming out of the lineup. In past years, you know, those have been guys, some of those guys have been in and out quite a bit, and you know, that's what you hope. You know, you want to show the growth that they've had, and show them that, you know, this is not us just sitting back making decisions. You make these decisions for us by the way you play. So they've done a great job, and it's been really a big addition to our team the way they've played.
Alrighty, they're going to have to be really good at Ferris State. It's tough quarters there. You got to be physical, you got to be tough, you got to take abuse, you got to respond properly, stay out of the penalty box, and that line's going to be probably as good a line as Lake Superior State's going to have this coming weekend at Ferris State. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning, and we'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten talking Laker hockey. Lakers heading for Ferris State this weekend. Going to be a tough test, small facility, low ceiling. press box right on top of the ice. It's kind of negative in a lot of ways, and yet I've never heard players complain about playing there. It kind of reminds a lot of guys, I think, of their peewee days when they played minor hockey, because it's that kind of facility.
Yeah, it's a little different feel than your typical or most college venues, and so there is a little bit of that feeling. You know, you're going back to that a little bit. You know, I think one thing in that smaller rink, they've gotten good crowds, and Coach Daniel's done a great job over the last, really his whole career, but certainly they've had such success until this year, where it's been a little bit of a challenge for them, but that place gets rocking. It's a low ceiling. It's that aluminum roof there, and it just echoes around. They have a dog pound there, so the dog pound behind the net. You know, they got great signs, and they're on our players. So there's a lot of interaction that way, and that fires guys up. You know, they enjoy that, and so it's good to go in a bit of that hornet's nest and, you know, get on the road. Obviously, we've had a great road record this year and been very successful on the road, and so our goal is just you know, going out and replicating the way we've played. I think discipline, as you just hit on, will be very important. They are a team at home that seems to really play with some jam and some bite and, you know, on that edge or over the edge at times. And so we want to make sure we're playing between the whistles and not getting involved in extracurricular activities there.
You know, we try not to dwell on officiating, et cetera, and I don't want to make any comments really to the strong negative side of things, but it was very interesting to me. I had a good friend from Sioux, Ontario, who came to the game on Saturday night, and he hadn't seen us play all year, and he said to me after the game, is that the officiating you get every game? Because he's an official. He works games in Sioux, Ontario. And he said, man, those guys are terrible. But, you know, and you don't want to really get into that. And yet that'll cost you a hockey game. You got to have good officiating. And WCHA is a little bit down in that area, I think. And yet I didn't think that Ryan Gordon and Jordan Lee did a bad job this past weekend.
Yeah, no, you know what? I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. I think as coaches, as players, you just would like consistency. You know, if you're going to call it tight both nights and let us know what you're going to call. And I thought that was a little bit of an issue between games. Friday night, they kind of let the players decide it, you know, and they're going to miss a couple here and there and maybe make a bad call here and there. But Friday night, there was a pretty, you know, loose standard that we'd adjusted to, and then Saturday seemed to be a lot tighter. So that can get frustrating, but you know, like I said, you have to adjust. You know, I had a good conversation with some guys that I trust, and some of our league people too, that, you know, man, Minnesota State, you know, they, it seems like sometimes, you know, they get the breaks, they get the calls, and now, hey, they're a really good team, they earn it, they can skate, they've got size, so there's not a lot of times they're at a disadvantage there, and so that's part of it. And I, you know, there's been a little bit of frustration from our end this year, maybe my end this year, that, you know, hey, we're one of those teams this year. You know, we were 18 in the pairwise. We're at home ice. You know, the shot clock is lopsided. And this maybe, you know, a couple of weeks back, you know, we're dominating time of possession and play against Huntsville. And at the end of the night, they go, you know, 0 for 6 or 1 for 6, and we're 1 for 2. And you kind of look around and say, how the heck does that happen? And I think with our skill, with guys like Nellis and Humitz and Diego, to me, that's the biggest one. When you take the advantage away from a team offensively, when the hooks to the hands, slash to the hands, I'm a big advocate, even though it hurts us occasionally when you play in Minnesota State or in Michigan. You know, teams that have that high-end skill, I think we need to protect puck carriers more in our sport, like they do at the NHL level. You know, that's exciting. That's fun. We want to see those dynamic players impact the game. And when you're hooking them and slashing the hands, it just that's what gets me a little bit. So, you know, I feel that way a little bit this year, where we've had such a solid year and a good year. And we're, like I said, a top 18, top 20 pairwise team. And, you know, one of the best, I think, fifth in the country in wins this year. And, you know, I feel like at times we maybe don't get that benefit of the doubt. But sometimes that's earned over time, and you know, we've got to keep earning it and creating our own puck luck.
Yeah, you look at Anthony Nellis, instead of respecting him and calling the penalty, they'll call embellishment on him. They try to he's had embellishment penalties called at least 3 times this year, including at the GLI. And you know, if a penalty is a penalty, then the person doing the infraction should be in the box, and it doesn't matter what the other guy does. If he embellishes it, I mean, come on, he's going down anyway.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I liked one of them. I thought Anthony did. Like, I'm okay with that call. If a kid, I'm not a big fan of diving, and you wouldn't know that from my playing days, because I could draw quite a penalty back in the day. But I certainly, the refs don't want to be embarrassed or showing up, and you know, so I don't like guys who, you know, really sell it it and really embellish it. But when they're not calling it, and what's happened to Anthony, because he's been so good this year, he's getting so much attention. Guys are draped all over him. There's sticks into him, and he's not getting calls. So all of a sudden, you know, he has to sell it a little bit to actually get a call there. So I see it at times. I liked one of them, didn't like the other two. But again, protect him. He's an elite talent. You know, he should not have to deal with an extra stick or an extra hold or extra clutch. You know, we don't want to penalize good players in college hockey and the WCHA. And I think at times, you know, I would like to see a little bit, you know, better job that way.
You know, all three of the coaches on the Laker team played at Michigan State. And so I know at least two of you played for Ron Mason. And Ron Mason, to me, is one of the great motivating coaches of all time in college hockey. I think, you know, I've worked around Frank Anzalone, who was a pretty good motivator. Jeff Jackson had his moments when he could motivate. What do you take from playing for various coaches and working with various coaches that you use to try to motivate players?
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, because everybody, you know, like you said, every coach has a different approach. You know, I spent some time with John Anderson in the American League, and he was a guy that every week would have a quote that would lead your week, and I liked that. And you know, Ron, you know, in my time, he coached a couple years after I played. So, you know, it wasn't like he was a real fire and brimstone. You know, we had outstanding teams. I think two of my years, we lost 5 or 6 games. And, you know, it wasn't a real rah-rah. It was preparation. It was organization and the details we played with and his approach to practice and games. You know, a real structured team at that time. And so I think our motivation came from knowing how prepared we were. And, you know, we knew going in nobody was going to be more prepared for us, but he didn't come in very often. You know, maybe he didn't have to because our teams were so successful. But you know, that's one of the things I think for me, you know, I hope and think we're a very prepared team. You know, we try to put our guys as we practice, and you know, we might run a lot of the same drills, but as we're doing them, we'll make tweaks for our opponent. So if it's a team over collapsing, we're going to release pucks earlier versus a spin back and attack one-on-one, things like that. So in our practice planning, again, we might have a fair amount of repetition in what we do, but there's tweaks within it based on our upcoming opponent. So for me, I want our guys fully prepared. You know, I think at this level, my belief is, you know, if you don't have that fire in yourself to be ready to play every day, and you know, and I guess that's kind of how I was. You know, there was nobody that came out and worked harder than I did on a daily basis. And so that's kind of a base expectation. And you know, and I think we have it this year. You know, we've got a group that comes prepared and ready to play on a daily basis. And once you do that, once your accountability is from within or within your teammates, when they're taking ownership, I think that's when you have a chance like we have this year with a tremendous team and a chance to start winning and competing for championships. So I think it's a credit to the guys that they've taken over this team. They're leading it. They're taking ownership, and you're seeing the results because of that.
Yeah, we're at Ferris State this weekend. Two tough games there in a bandbox arena. Then you're off. It's your turn to get the weekend by, and other teams will have a chance to pick up points on you, etc. But I think at this point, with Laker hockey, we need that weekend off. We need some rest in here and really rejuvenate, because then we'll have 6 games left in the regular season, only one road trip, and it's our easiest one we'll make over to Northern Michigan. And then you're into the playoffs. You're either going to be going somewhere, or you're going to be at home.
Well, the goal is home ice, you know, and that's, you know, you're right. You know, we've got to have a great weekend in Ferris and kind of lay it all on the line. And there is some fatigue with the travel we've gone through and just the stretch of games, starting with the GLI and even just before some of the travel. You know, so the bye week comes at a great time. And as you said just now, and as we've talked about a little bit, you know, this trip to Big Rapids is our second easiest trip of the year. And Northern Michigan, Marquette a couple weeks out is our easiest trip of the year. So it really sets up well when you're looking around. You know, Michigan Tech just returned from Alaska. They got a bye week, so that'll help them. You know, Mankato, Minnesota State still has to go up to Alaska. Some other teams still have to make that trip. You know, out to Bemidji, and you know, watching Bemidji come to Big Rapids in a couple of weeks, I'm not sure how they make that trip, but those are really difficult. So it sets up well. You know, we're positioned well. We control our own destiny, and you know, Friday night becomes the biggest game of the year, and you know, that's our focus. But next week, we're really going to bank some rest and recovery. Give the guys, mix in a couple days off, you know, get out to the prison, visit out there, and you know, spend some time with the prisoners and the guards out there who love Laker hockey, and try to, you know, impact them as much as we can in that few hours. But really, you know, have our guys get away from it a little bit and come back fresh for those last 6 games.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good fans out there. They're a captive audience. We used to always laugh and say that. But, you know, the residents out at Kinross Correctional Facility, there's a lot of big hockey fans. They've got a tremendous rink out there. If most people never get a chance to see it. But they got boards. They got an official size. They probably have as big an ice surface as Ferris State does.
Yeah, probably bigger. You know, and I haven't been able to go in the past. Last year it was canceled. Previous years I usually use that bye week to get out on the road and recruiting. And I'm still not sure if I'll be able to go with the team or I'll be out on the road. But I'd love to do it. You hear the players. You know, it's just such a kind of an emotional journey out there. You know, very intimidating in a lot of ways. And we tour the whole facility, so we go through the isolation unit and things like that. And it's pretty remarkable. And then you get to hear some of the guys talk and how much it means for us to show up out there and, you know, maybe give them a couple hours of normalcy and their old lives back. And from the guards' perspective, I think it means a lot that they have this activity kind of, you know, they get a lot of good behavior out of these guys leading up to this event so they can partake in it. So it's a little bit of a different feel for sure. It's something that was new to me when I got here 5 years ago, but our players have embraced it in a lot of ways. And again, a challenging trip in some ways to kind of prepare, for the emotions you go through out there. But I do think we can make a big impact on these guys. And, we'd like to make sure we keep that going as best we can, because I think anytime, usually our impact is on a lot of our youth, you know, our young hockey players, our young school kids, being pen pals and reading the classrooms, obviously a much different audience we have out there. But, from what we hear, they do really look forward to it. And to give them a chance to feel like they're, back in their normal life, I think is pretty impactful.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to do. It's a good PR type thing, and both the Lakers and the Sioux Eagles, the junior team here in town, do a real good job of reaching out in the community, and even as far as Kinross Correctional Facility. Lots of good things on the horizon here. Only 6 regular season games remaining after this weekend. Damon, we've got Michigan Tech coming in on February 15th and 16th, and then we go to Northern, and then we come home against this Ferris State team, and then it's playoff time.
Yeah, it's kind of, I know I haven't thought about that way, but 2 UP rivals still on the schedule, so those are big games, and that'll be nice for the team. It's not hard to get up when you're playing Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech, and crowds obviously are pretty good for those. They'll bring some people, and we'll take some over to Marquette. Same thing with Ferris, being a GLIAC team. They'll have a good turnout up here in a few weeks for our senior weekend there, and us going down there, hopefully we got some people traveling down, and the weather's certainly not helping, but there's some great hockey left on the docket here. Certainly coming home next week or 2 weeks out, Czech/Survive is going on as well. We all know what a great event that is, and what that means to our community, and again, just some rivalry games coming in here. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend of hockey here, and then that bye week can't come at a better time. So we'll we'll refresh and reinvigorate ourselves and go to that 6-game burst, in a desperate fight for home ice and trying to get as high as we can. We're in striking distance. First place is probably out of reach at this point. Minnesota State would have to fall off the map. And I don't see that happening with how good they are. But, there's opportunities in front of us to get up into second place here. So we've got to take care of business and be ready to play.
Yep, and it all starts with Ferris State this weekend. We'll be there. We'll have both games on Yes FM for you. There'll be a Flow TV telecast as well out of Ferris State. And we'll be back next Thursday morning with another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. There is a pregame tailgater down at Ferris State at Applebee's at 5 o'clock on Saturday. If you're down that way, you can go to that before the game. And should be 2 good games with the Bulldogs, and then we get a weekend off, and then into the final 6 games of the regular season. Damon, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be here talking Laker hockey. Have a great Thursday, and go Lakers.
All righty, that's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.